When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mason 10, that's deflected and picked up. Mosey, he'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
The New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by second-time guest on the show. I've now been on Matt's show a couple times, Matt O'Leary. Just Jets podcast, Matt O'Leary, Patreon page, YouTube, TikTok. You can find him pretty much anywhere. Matt, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having me back on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Obviously, we're recording this about 4 o'clock. This will drop right after we record. First day of camp is in the books. Let's start out with kind of yesterday and some of the news that kind of came out. Mekhi Becton comes back in shape, which I think we all were going to hope that was going to happen. Some of us thought he was in shape before. Others of us had been told he was not in shape and that needed to get in shape. He spent the last 40 days at the facility. He came in day one, ready to go, off the pup list. Carl Lawson as well, ready to go day one. George Fant was activated this morning. We'll get to that. But what were your impressions when you saw Mekhi come back in shape, looking like the guy that we were all kind of hoping we were going to see?
I was floored. I was blown away by that picture that I'm sure everyone saw. I was confident that he was going to be able to come in shape. And my stance all along was like, okay, I'm not going to worry about this guy until training camp. If he comes and he looks bad at the start of training camp or the knee's not ready to go, that's when my concerns is going to start to come in. But he looked phenomenal in the picture, obviously, that everyone saw. And the best part is, as you said, he was activated. So the mix of, one, the work that he put in to get to that point, to be, the weight and the health that he is, and then be activated, like, that's just such a home run for the Jets. And obviously we find out today that he's going to be on the right side, which I think most people expected. But him coming back looking the part is the first step, and we had that confirmed right away. So I think everyone was excited for that and for good reason.
Yeah, at the end of the day, look, there was a lot made about Mekhi, and I think it's in some ways a compliment to him that he matters that much, that a tackle can be this big of a storyline. I think that that's not generally not a thing you're going into camp, and we were talking, it's all we want to talk about. The story was going to die as soon as he came back in shape, ready to go. The story maybe picks up again if Carl Lawson starts beating him again like last year, but the Jets need Mekhi. Mekhi needs the Jets to be all bought in on him. They could have taken Ike Ekwonu, which a lot of people, including myself, thought they would. They didn't. That's a vote of confidence there. They've got a nutritionist. Everything is kind of trended towards get to camp in shape, healthy, ready to go. He did that, as you mentioned today. As I've been talking about probably since January, I think it's best for the Jets to go George Fant left tackle, Mekhi Becton at right tackle. Becton's got some experience over there. George Fant obviously could play both, but I did feel like he looked a lot more comfortable and better on the left side. And now you get the dream right side everyone was talking about 12 months ago of, Mekhi and Elijah Vera Tucker. Maybe it's not exactly how we planned it to happen and the timeline, but we've still got that. Were you surprised at all that it kind of didn't even go into competition? I wasn't super surprised, but I thought, we didn't maybe get a day of it. The Jets kind of just squashed that right away.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that they squashed it. I don't think it's a bad thing that they squashed it either, but I thought they'd give it maybe, the couple days where they're going to give them both a little bit of reps. And then finally, as we move along here in training camp, that they'd actually, name someone the official starter. But I think this is better because each of these guys, like, they know the role now at this point, and they're going to go ahead and do their jobs. And, you know, like you said, it didn't really come as a surprise with how well George Pham played at the position last year, and Becton's played on the right side in the past in college. So I think, you know, him moving over to that side should be fine. And that run blocking duo that you're going to have on the right side of AVT and Mekhi Becton, I think could be really, really scary, especially with Breece Hall running the ball. I think, you know, open some lanes on that right side and, you know, pick up some yardage on early downs, and that's going to set up your offense really nicely.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how, when the pads come on, how these guys look. A lot of these, the offensive line, well, we won't hear a lot about Jermaine Johnson and Carl until the pads come back on. I believe first full padded practice will be Monday. A couple more helmets practices, probably shoulder pads, if not just helmets on Saturday. But let's kind of transition to, we'll transition to Denzel Mims quickly. My stance is this, and then I want to get your reaction. Like, look, I did my 53-man prediction, the start of camp. Obviously, this stuff is pending change. I know everyone's already all happy. I was wrong about DJ Montgomery, who's a sixth receiver. I just picked one of the five guys that could have been it. But my stance is it's a win-win from the Jets, right? The only bad situation would have been Denzel looked awful, and his value is not there, and he also can't contribute for the Jets. That's the only lose-lose. For them, Denzel Mims coming in looking great, then that's awesome. Maybe he replaces Corey Davis next year and the Jets get their guy and they've got three receivers on a rookie contract and you invest more in the defense, all these great things, right? Like, he's a big body receiver. Or he plays really well in the preseason, the Jets feel he's a surplus asset and they move him for, you know, maybe a day two pick that they didn't really foresee coming based on his value from last year. Do you agree with me or disagree that, like, no matter what, this is a good thing for the Jets and, like, you shouldn't take this thing as anything but positive news going forward?
Yeah, 1,000%. And, you know, for myself personally, I'm rooting for kind of like the first part you're mentioning, because I really liked Denzel a lot coming out of college. And I thought he showed some promise in his first year. And that, now, obviously, there's no defending last year. It was atrocious. It was just awful. And there's so many factors that went into it, too. But for him to come back, and like you said, if he could even just be a role player this year, but show enough to where maybe you feel comfortable to move on from Corey Davis after this year, save some money, and have those three young guys as your trio at wide receiver, I think that'd be really cool. But at the same time, like, if they just don't foresee him being a part of this team long-term and you want to flip him now, but the value is, as you said, maybe a day two pick instead of a sixth or a seventh round pick, then that's awesome. That's great. I think you can sign up for that. So yeah, no matter how you slice it, him showing up, one, looking how he did, I thought he looks in phenomenal shape right now too. And looking good on day one is a great sign.
Yeah, got to get him off to a confidence start. Look, a lot of stuff last year I do think was more mental than anything. I think, you know, you looked at a lot of the stuff, a lot of the frustration from the staff and, you know, fans was kind of almost felt like he was running in first gear all year. Like, it just never, he could never get going. I know he had the COVID stuff, he had the stomach. There's just a million things. Last year was, obviously an atrocity from Jump Street. So, outside of that, Zach Wilson seemed to have a good day today. You know, first day of camp seemed to, you know, for the most part, bring it. I believe had one interception in the red zone. DJ Reed, you know, new Jets signing, made a nice play. But generally speaking, reaction to how Zach played today, but also just in general, your expectations for camp. Like, is this what you're expecting kind of a day-over-day basis, or you're expecting him to be, you know, 15 for 15 with, 5,000 yards in every drill?
Yeah, he's going to be, you know, MVP candidate after training camp. No, but in all seriousness, I think it's going to fluctuate. He's still a really young player, so I think there's going to be some days where he looks really, really good. And I think for the most part, today was a good day for him. But then there's probably going to be a couple of days, like it or not, where he struggles a little bit. And, you know, that's part of being a young player in this league. You're kind of just hoping that the good days outweigh the bad. And I think, you know, overall going into not only training camp, but this year, is just the consistency, getting the consistency down, because we saw the flashes last year. And if more often than not, he's looking like the player that we saw against Tampa Bay or in the second half against Tennessee, then the Jets will be in really good shape this year. But yeah, like I said, he's still a very young player. He doesn't have a full season of starts under his belt because of the injury. So I think there's going to be some bumps along the way, but overall confident in him going forward.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, he's got to just play well day over day, build on each practice. There's got to be, you know, is there going to be days where he struggles more than others and days where he looks better than others? 100%. But especially day one install stuff, you know, going to year two, obviously a lot of the confident answers, a lot of the, you know, obviously the press conference that he's going to play this year at 218, played last year between 205 and 206. So, you know, obviously we saw the jump here. It's up to about 221, I believe, in the offseason. 218 seems a little bit more appropriate for what he'd play at. He's not exactly, you know, built like the Rock. So we'll see there. I'd like to see him improve a bit in the red zone. I know he played well in the red zone last year statistically at the end of the year. But so far, obviously, red zone's really tough to evaluate when they're not running the football. But, you know, so far through, you know, mini camp and, you know, and stuff like that, that's where he struggled a little bit. So let's see what happens there. A couple of other names that kind of popped up. I know you've talked about it a bunch. I wasn't really expecting Carl Lawson to be look this good in terms of just physically looking this good. I know he works his ass off and he's an incredible athlete and all this different stuff. But the Achilles, you know, he didn't just like he ruptured his Achilles, you know, 11 months ago. Were you surprised at all day one he was on the practice field, or was that another one of those things where it's like, you know, I could see it coming. Obviously, they're going to limit his reps early on.
Yeah, I guess a little bit surprising just because I thought they'd kind of bring him back a little bit slowly and ramp him up maybe as they got closer to these preseason games. But he's just – and he's another one. You just saw how he came in shape-wise. He's just – he's a freak athlete, man. And I think even Salah today said it, like, he wins with power, so that should be able to get him back and ready to go maybe a little bit earlier than they were expecting. But I can't wait to see him on the field because he really tore it up last year in training camp, looked like he was going to be an absolute star, and then gets hurt in the combined practice with Green Bay. And that was such a wind out of the sails for this Jets defense. So he's another one who I'm extremely high on and had high hopes for him last year. I bought his jersey and immediately got hurt. So just for my sake,
don't buy Jermaine's jersey this year until starts playing.
I've been banned from buying jerseys. So I want to see him on the field. And I think if he's back and, you know, healthy, play 17 games, I think he has a real shot to finally break the streak of not having a double digit sack guy.
Yeah. No, look, at the end of the day, when it comes to Jermaine, I mean, when it comes to Carl, I just would like to see him, you know, be able to play. Like, I know it sounds like the bare minimum and they're paying him a lot of money, but look, he has, you know, he's not played in a game for the Jets. I mean, I guess whatever he played in the first preseason game. So you have to take that with a grain of salt.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
A couple of other guys I want to get your opinion on, just because we'll keep this one, you know, pretty quick. We'll be doing a ton of pauses, I'm sure you're going to be doing. I've already put out a video and all that. So free safety position, there is a couple of different guys kind of vying for that spot. The coaching staff seems to really like Jason Pinnock and Ashton Davis. I know Marcus Joyner, talking to a couple of the coaches on the DB room over the offseason, you know, he's this ultimate leader and they love him a lot, but he hasn't really played again. He's another guy that on paper sounds great. Can he actually play at all, let alone 17 games? Jason Pinnock, I did not foresee being a guy that we talked about at all. And, you know, I wasn't, frankly, on my draft board. I know I've talked to a couple people that they weren't on his top 250. Didn't look good at corner and then moves to safety and actually looked pretty good last year. And then Ashton Davis caused some turnovers, but the run game was brutal. Who do you expect to win that job? And Are you at all surprised, I guess, that Jason Pinnock's kind of in this situation where, like, now he might be a pretty solid safety long term when he was drafted as a corner?
Yeah, Pinnock was definitely a little bit surprising for me, even when, you know, last year in a small sample size, they had him play safety a little bit. I thought he looked okay. But it's so hard for me to sit here right now and take a guess. I would think if healthy, LaMarcus Joyner is going to have the edge here, but the guy really hasn't played a lot in the last 2 years. So, like, I don't know how much we could really, really rely on that. And between Pinnock and Davis, of the two, I'd be rooting for Pinnock, I think, just because with Eshton Davis, for me, he's a great athlete, right? No one's going to ever deny that at the track star at Cal, but I don't know if the football IQ is necessarily there yet, because there's too many times where I feel like the route he takes to the football, especially in the run game, it's like he takes these really weird angles. And it's I think that would be a liability to have him be a regular on this defense. So I'm probably most confident in Joyner as the veteran there. But then beyond that, Pinnock, who maybe honestly, I think in a perfect world, they'd probably like Joyner to start this year and then maybe Pinnock take over next year in that role. But yeah, he turns the football over, or he creates turnovers. He had a couple picks last year, but I don't think he's consistent enough to start for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think the safety room look, and unless something happens, the four safeties that are pretty much locked in to make the roster, unless something, again, happens in an injury basis, would be Pinnock, Davis, Joyner, and Jordan Whitehead. Look, if Eshton Davis and Quincy Williams could balance out the highs and lows, this Jets defense ceiling is going to be a lot higher. I just, I do hope from a, you know, Davis perspective, Mims, Becton, obviously Bryce Hall has played, you know, quite a bit. Can they get some stuff from this 2020 class? Because all of a sudden this roster looks very different, right? If they put together three really good draft classes in a row, the excuses are kind of out the window. You've put together, you know, quite a solid young roster. I was saying before, I'm not sure that they've had this much talent on the offensive side of the ball in at least half a decade, just on paper. Again, people have to, you know, perform, but all those guys pretty much are pretty young outside of, you know, Lincoln Tomlinson and Corey Davis and pretty much everybody else, like 20, 23, 24 or younger. Last two guys here, or last two, I guess, you know, things to mention. The Jets kickers went 8 of 8 today. I'm not kidding when I tell you that's probably the biggest thing that happened today. The Jets kicking game has been awful for a really long time. I know I think it was probably 2018 when they had Jason Myers make the Pro Bowl and they were terrible. Kicking is incredibly important in the NFL. When you're not a great team or you're trying to become a good team, taking three, getting those, you know, extra points, making field goals that you should make and converting drives. I think of the Dolphins game all the time at home last year, where I think they missed the first two kicks and an extra point or something. And it's like, they lose the game by 3 points. Well, now you're confused why. Who do you think is going to win that kicking battle? And am I crazy that that's one of the most important things that happened today?
No, you're not crazy. And I think it's kind of been glossed over the last couple of years because of how bad this team is. Like, that just gets pushed down the line of things of importance. But you're right, it is an important thing in this team. Like, yeah, maybe they're not a playoff team yet, but I think they're trying to take strides to just being more competitive. And one of those ways is by having a capable NFL kicker. Of the two, like, I feel like both are very different, right? Like, Pinheiro feels like he is the more accurate guy from shorter distance, but on the longer, like, he might not have the leg to hit the bombs, where Zerloin's like the opposite. He's the guy who can hit you the home run, the big long 57 yarder, but sometimes he'll have those weird like shanks on a 37 yarder. So I lean Zerloin just because of his career. I know he's not the same guy that he was, you know, all those years ago, but still overall, I think he's going to end up winning this job at the end of the day. But I'm just hoping for consistency, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I just would like to see the Jets not miss an extra point to start the season. And we all go back to it, the Bills game 2019, which I felt like, you know, one of the biggest buzzkills of the last decade of Jets football, as much, you know, just because of the optimism and 16-0 to start the game and all that stuff. You know, the Kai Vanderick, or however you pronounce his names, you know, kicking performance that day was brutal, and they end up losing by a point. And, you know, maybe that season goes different. You never know. Dee Ford released by the Niners. Not surprising there. I'm not saying the Jets are going to – they have enough D linemen. I know Dee Ford's been really underwhelming, but – it wouldn't shock me if the Jets took another swing on a guy that's, you know, obviously been good in the past, unfortunately, has not been good since basically since joining the Niners. Has been hurt a bunch. So let's see what happens there. But just a name to watch, and along with Kwan and a couple other guys. Last two here, Riley Reiff getting $12.5 million to play left tackle for the Bears is confusing, to say the least. Like, I thought the Jets would be interested. I know they had an offer out to him, but man, $12.5 million for a guy that barely was a swing tackle at best in the NFL seems crazy.
Yeah, I was so surprised with that's the money that he got, but I mean, Chicago's just desperate, man. That offensive line is really, really bad. And, you know, it's late. There's not that many options left. And he was able to, you know, get a pretty lucrative deal. But, yeah, I was thinking, you know, maybe like half of that, maybe like even cheaper than that for someone in his role. Like, I don't remember off the top of my head what Morgan Moses got last year from the Jets.
One for four.
Right, and to me, Morgan Moses is a better tackle than Riley Reiff is too. Yeah. So I was stunned when I saw that number come in, but I'm curious to see if like someone gets cut, if the Jets maybe scoop somebody up, because the tackle depth outside of the starters is still a little bit of a question mark to me.
I was just gonna say the maybe a Dwayne Brown who comes in later in camp and waits and sees, but they're even crazier is Morgan Moses getting 3 for 15 after playing well last year and being a good starter in Washington, super durable, goes to Baltimore and gets like, I don't know, just some of the numbers that have gotten thrown around. There's always one team that kind of messes up the market. We'll see what happens with the guys like Kwan and Dwayne Brown and, you know, those names. Odell, I don't think is going to sign anytime soon. Why would he? Look, again, Julio might be washed, but it's still so annoying. Tom Brady just gets all, you know, Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer to come play with him. Before we let you go, obviously optimism is at a full peak. So where are you at with, you know, kind of your expectations? Have they changed at all since the last time we talked in terms of now that we're in a camp and everyone's, you know, all these guys are in shape and you're hearing great things about Zach? Has your expectation changed at all? Are you still kind of in that 7, 8, 9 win mark?
Yeah, I'm trying to stay level-headed right now, which is difficult. I was super excited today from everything coming out of camp, but I've been on the 8-win mark for a while now, and I think that's kind of where they're going to end up. You know, if things break right and everything clicks, they can exceed that, but there are still some weaknesses on this team. They're still a young team, so I think they're going to make some mistakes sometimes, especially against those really good coaches and those really good veteran teams who've just, you know, been there before. And you know, for instance, like a game early on in the year, they play Pittsburgh, which you would think, okay, yeah, they're, you know, Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett, that doesn't really scare you. But going into Pittsburgh and playing Mike Tomlin, who's one of the best coaches in the game, in my opinion, is very, very tough for a young team like this. So, you know, I think it's going to be, unfortunately, another year of some ups and downs, but I'm really hoping that they're just, you know, a team that's tough to play against and no one wants to play. They're a pain in the ass to deal with. And you know what, I think at least offensively, they should be a lot of fun. So I'll sign up for that because there haven't been that many years of that in our Jets fandom here.
Yeah, no, look, I'll change my opinion to 9 wins and I'll go super optimistic and whatever. I do think New England is going to be worse than we think. And I do think I'm not sold on what's going on in Miami. I just feel as like there's a lot of hype and a lot of hoopla going around them. There's guys that we don't know about quarterback. We have no idea about head coach. They signed one of the best left tackles in football who plays consistently 11 games a year. That defense doesn't have Brian Flores anymore. There's just a lot of stuff around there that I don't know if, like, they're going to be exciting and good, especially with Waddle and Hill, but, you know, how they're able to use them. And look, the Jets roster is on paper pretty good outside of 2 or 3 spots. Unfortunately for the Jets, the biggest question mark is obviously quarterback, which we've talked about a million times. As much as you can have faith in Zach, no one really knows at this point, one way or another. And if you liked Zach before the draft, you still love him. And if you hated Zach before the draft, you think he's terrible and the Jets need to go sign Jimmy Garoppolo and whatever. So, although I'm not sure that much that would really do for them. But, I'm on the same page as you. Obviously, you know, make sure you guys are tuned into Matt's content, whether that's Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Patreon page, Just Jets Pod. A lot of stuff going on. Matt, anything else you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, I think you covered it, man. I'm just, you know, talking Jets everywhere I can, trying to keep it light, have a good time, and just excited for football to be back finally.
Yeah, me as well. We'll have a couple more pods this week. Content will be kind of coming at you hard and fast throughout the offseason. I mean, throughout, you know, training camp and getting you ready for the season. Make sure you guys are subscribed to Matt Stuff. Subscribe to Turn the Jets, obviously, on you know, on Apple, Spotify, all that. And then, you know, the Badlands Patreon feed as well. A bunch of written content for me will be on there this month. So appreciate everybody for listening. Talk to you guys next week.